Hey there, it's me again, your boy Marvo, and I'm back with round two of the Iron Mike Freestyle Battle. We have two new contestants, sophomore Raiel and your boy Eli from class of 2005. We also have the bus, Jonathan Hodges, J-Dub, Jeremy Walker, and Steven Jackson, Action Jackson, over at the judges table. Y'all already know the rules, so we ain't gonna waste no time on that. But look, y'all will have 45 seconds. Please stop when I tell you, or else you will be disqualified. All right, let's get it going. We're gonna start things off with your boy right here, Envy. Let's go.
I notice a lot of people love music. People are always jamming to something. And I know when I meet people and just chat through the normal dating circles that I venture into, they're always asking, what kind of music you're into? And I honestly say, man, I don't really listen to music like that anymore. I think that I've noticed a dynamic change in the music. I'll listen to some top 40 music, some EDM, some club. But my first love, which is hip-hop, I don't even venture into that anymore. That was something that I grew up to. Obviously, I grew up in Puerto Rico. But then at 9 years old, I moved to the States. I was on a flight. And I remember listening to LL Cool J, I'm Bad, in 1986. I was like, what the heck is this? Very powerful stuff. And, you know, I didn't understand the word of it, but I knew whatever he was saying, man. It was legit. It was strong. It was different. And that was my introduction to hip-hop. And it was a perfect time for us that are my age, understand that the mid-'80s, was the time where it became commercial. It started to become mainstream, and then the talk was whether it was going to have longevity. And here we are, 30 years later, it's evolved. And it's just very interesting to see the changes go from back then, which is a rock fusion. That's how it became mainstream. And obviously, there was no cursing, to the 90s, where it became more of reporting and talking about the hardships. And then going into some glamour stuff with Puffy. And then just kind of becoming nursery rhymes and hooks. So, and now people, you know, not sampling anymore. They're just kind of creating their own music, their own sounds. Now, it's frowned upon when you sample. When that was the thing hip-hop was built on sampling jazz and sampling all these different things. So now it's a different element. And it's not bad. It's cool. I like it. There's some artists out there that I enjoy. I enjoy a song here and there. And I think it's cool to see the young guys do their thing. I know Jay-Z's 444 came out. I haven't listened to it. But I've seen some of the feedback, especially from 50 Cent. He said, you know, sounds like golf club music. golf course music, I should say. And, you know, that's the reality of our lives, right? I mean, Jay-Z can't be rapping like 20-year-olds. That's just not what it's about. You have to rap about and you have to talk about the things that are impacting your life at this moment. And you're in a different zone. So, you know, as I look back through the course of history and time, I wanted to put together a series of top fives. And I wanted to start it off with the music of that I grew up with. You know, I'm a Generation X type of guy. So I'm skateboards, grunge, hip-hop. That's the era that I grew up in. So I wanted to start it off with the top five hip-hop acts. And in this one, in my list, is going to include groups and individuals. Honorable mention to Biggie. I felt that he was an amazing, amazing rapper. Obviously, he influenced a lot of the legends. And no one says anything bad about him that was from that era, as far as if you told him he was the greatest or up there. But I just don't think he has the longevity. I don't think he had, it's kind of like a football player, a basketball player, like Penny Hardaway. He had 5 amazing years in Orlando, but that was it. You know, after the knee surgeries, he just couldn't handle it. Or Terrell Davis, from running back from the Broncos. He had an amazing 5-6 years, then he had a retire. So I think that's the unfortunate part about Biggie, is that we got 2 epic classic albums and some great singles, and he was such a powerful influence, but we never got to see more of him. And so I can't put him on that list. Honorable mention as well, Wu-Tang Clan. Obviously one of my favorites groups of all time. There's nothing else to be said. They're 9 rappers that are all original. There's no 2 rappers that sound the same on that group. And they all have talent. That is without question. To the point that people don't understand them. Above their knowledge base. Above their desire to listen. It's like trying to read a scientific thesis written by a scientist. Or, you know, trying to read something real elaborate. Like, for some people, that's a little too much for them. And that's something that I've always appreciated. Because they're original, man. They're incredible. And just recently, I mean, they had some, you know, some of the guys just got some stuff out. And it was solid. Especially Ghostface and Raekwon. They try to stay on top of things as far as being able to provide stuff for, you know, the new generation. So, I mean, those are some of that I have there as far as honorable mentions. But I want to kick off my top 5. Number 5 is Run DMC. They make this list because they were the reason why hip-hop became what it is today. A big part of it as far as being mainstream and being accepted. That was not a group that I was not a fan of, but I know their impact on the game was monumental, especially when they went ahead and had a collaboration with Aerosmith, which was one of the largest rock groups at that time. So I think their impact for me on the game has been to the point where it became mainstream. They legitimized the genre, where it became a music of the streets and of the urban culture strictly, to being something that's accepted in suburbia America and in other parts of the world. So I think their ability to have that music and to make it so that it was tolerable by the masses, it was radio friendly, and it was something that had the commercial appeal. And that's one thing I wanted to say about my criteria. It goes into the elements of having the crossover appeal, having an impact, and obviously having the skill set. You know, Rev Run, I think he's a very talented, and especially for his time. I think that's something I remember seeing him. Remember that show he had where it was his family? He did a little bit of rap. I'm like, oh, okay, this guy still has it. This guy still does it, has it in him. So as far as that, you know, they're very talented. They're monumental. I think they were part of hip-hop, and they should be in that Mount Rushmore, that group anyway, all together. I couldn't say that they're even top 10, but I think collectively what they've done as a group is monumental. Also, honorable mention to 2 Live Crew, because they had a similar impact where they allowed for some barriers to happen as far as, you know, being able to express yourself in a sexual manner. I mean, Luke Campbell fought that battle, didn't he? He was the leader for 2 Live Crew, and they had very crazy sexual undertones, very direct in their music, misogynistic and objectifying women. I guess that's the way it came across. And at that time, people weren't ready, and they fought that battle. And, you know, so those are some of the people that I feel need some credit, because it's part of the landscape of hip-hop today. So number 5, Run DMC. Number 4, you have Nas. Nas is a incredible, talented person. I think Rakim was a big influence on him. Rakim was somebody that was in the mid-80s as well. And he, you know, Nas, what makes him influential is obviously his lyrical style, the longevity that he's had, and the success, the crossover appeal, where he's underground as well as commercial. He's had a lot of great singles. That's the thing about him. He's had maybe 1 or 2 good albums where you could say, wow, classics. But overall, he's had very, very good career. And the thing about him, obviously, he battled Jay-Z and trumped him. So I think that from a cultural perspective, the one thing about Nas is that he's always gone against the grain. Nas has embodied what hip-hop is all about, as far as being an individual, as far as paying homage to the people in the past. It's like a fraternity in some ways. Like the old school heads view rap as a fraternity where they acknowledge the older cats, they respect them, but you also create your own niche. You can't be biting, you can't be copying off anyone. Like, you got to do your own style. And the moment that you do that, then obviously you're not given any credit. And I think that Nas is one of those people as well that is just very original. He tries to go against the grain. That's one thing I remember when he was trying to promote that album. It became Untitled, but initially it was called Nigger. And he was getting a lot of blowback for that. But that's the kind of guy Nas is. He's always trying to not stir the pot, but he's trying to be conscious. I mean, obviously he came up with Hip Hop Is Dead and that concept. So I think he's always trying to be creative, and he's pushing that envelope. And that's something that I appreciate about him. You know, shout out as well, honorable mention to LL Cool J. LL Cool J obviously was longevity, crossover appeal, and all of that stuff. But he didn't make my top five. I don't think he was as – he was a transcending figure. He allowed for acts like today, like Drake, and people to talk about love and to be more sensitive on the mic. Like, he was able to have that, and he was a battle rapper. He went after people. That's one thing about LL. He definitely did his thing with that. And he had very good albums as well. But I don't think he's, as a lyricist or as a hip-hop, I don't think he's in the top five. I think if it was the top 10, he's definitely in it, but not my top five. So, again, top five, Run DMC, number four, Nas, number three, N.W.A. And how can you kind of ignore this group's impact and culture? They, like, Run DMC became crossover appeal and allowed hip-hop to be mainstream. N.W.A. became street reporting. I think that was the first legitimate, hardcore view of the streets, and especially in L.A. and in that area, because people that lived on the East Coast, like myself, didn't have no clue about the level of police brutality and the things that were going on, and it's all the same. And they were dealing with it at a higher rate or at a crazy rate out there. I mean, obviously, the riots happened back in the early 90s. And I remember Ice-T saying, man, this ain't shocking to us. We've been talking about this for a while. When you talk about the Rodney King's beatings, he said, man, there's nothing. This is not new to me. This is just a boiling point. But this is not something that we're not used to. And I think the NWA brought that to the forefront. Obviously, they got the FBI involved, and it got the White House, and it got all those people perked their ears up. And it perked America's ears up, because this was the kind of music that was very good, but it was very controversial in what it was saying. It wasn't trying to be dance music, and that's the thing that hip-hop was at one point. It was dance music. You go out and jam and have a good time. You know, do your little dances, break dancing. I remember that growing up. You know, you see some people break dancing on the cardboard boxes, doing some spins on the head and all that good stuff. So they took all that. They just said, fuck this. You know, we're going to talk about the drugs. We're going to talk about the violence. We're going to talk about the police brutality. We're going to talk about all these things that go on in the hood. And obviously they had a movie, and it was very good. It was very successful. So, you know, that's a group that definitely had a huge impact in hip-hop, obviously, because it allowed people to be more open and more gritty and more realistic. It wasn't about dancing. You know, it was about fucking saying whatever the fuck you felt. So whatever your world consisted of. And N.W.A. allowed for all of us, not all of us, but all the other rappers to really be open about their world and their things. You know, I think that's a residual of Wu-Tang, it's a residual of just other things. And obviously they have spawned two great rappers out of that, Ice Cube and Dr. Dre. And obviously without Dr. Dre, we wouldn't have any 50 Cent, Eminem, and Kendrick Lamar. So I think the NWA is definitely one of the greatest hip hop acts that we've had. Number two, speaking of NWA, residual of that is Eminem. Eminem is definitely number two. That white boy can rap. That white boy is the devil on that microphone. There is, I would go out and venture and say he's probably the best rapper. I don't think that, I think when he's on the mic with someone else, he tries to destroy them. And I just recently just saw an article about, not an article, but I saw an interview with Busta Rhymes. They did a collab. And Busta Rhymes said that they had to go back and forth and redo their deliveries. They had to redo their rhymes because he was not letting Eminem shit on him. It's like, you know, he sent him a video. He sent him the music. He put it on. Eminem trashed him. He's like, nah, you're not going to trash me, bro. He did it. And then Eminem came back and said, nah, you're not going to trash me. So Eminem is probably like Jordan and Kobe in the mindset of trying to destroy someone and trying to be the best. And that's part of being white in a hip-hop culture. You have to constantly prove yourself. You're tested, and he had to, I mean, that's something that you carry with you forever, I think. I think that's something that he'll never let go of. Even if he's told he's the greatest, he's I don't think he'll ever accept that. And it's funny because you hear him in any collaborations that he comes on. I mean, he really does his thing. Like, he's probably the best on the album, on the song. So it's always interesting to see him, and obviously he's had a couple great albums where his freestyling is top notch. Like, he's hungry. He has something to talk about. He's frustrated, and I think that's part of hip-hop. Hip-hop is about speaking your emotions and being frank about how you feeling and being the best and why you think you're the best. And Eminem has done it over and over again. And I think that's something that he had to work really hard at, because the black community is always going to be not accepting. It's going to be, what am I looking for? It's, you know, they're not going to be accepting of a boy like that. And for him to kind of defeat the odds and obviously perk Dr. Dre's ear and have him be his mentor and the person that brought him on stage, I'll let you know a lot about the power of Eminem. And obviously he's very successful. He doesn't like the limelight, obviously. He kind of stays to himself. Now I've noticed as he's gotten older, he does some things out there, like where he'll go on a show here and there. But overall, man, he keeps to himself. And I think he's always been that way. He's not doing this for the fame or anything like that. I think he's just doing it for, you know, just for the love of the music. He grew up to it, just like me, and he just loved it, and he became very good. And I would say he's probably up there. I mean, goodness, it's very tough. But number one, I couldn't deny him this because I think he encompasses what every rapper wants to be, and that's Jay-Z. I think he's, that's overall, I mean, lyrically, he's amazing. I don't think he's better than Eminem, but I mean, it's not a bad, it's kind of like picking, you know, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning when it comes to lyrics. It's like, okay, you know, Eminem or Jay-Z. You know, I'm good with either one coming out that tunnel and quarterback of my team. I think it's the combination. It's the rags to riches story. There is no doubt people don't think he's authentic. I mean, the guy talks about the drug game, talks about how he had to transition from that to the rap game, and he did that all on his own and created a clothing brand. And he did the business, man. He fully incorporated the business of it and getting everything, getting his own music, starting his own record label, his own clothing line. Now he has a streaming line, you know, music title. Just doing, being an individual and being a business. And I think that's what you have to understand, that your music, especially in hip-hop, it has a shelf life. For some reason in hip-hop, and this is uncharted waters, you know, for a 45-year-old rapper or almost 50-year-old rapper to be relevant, you know, to get the music out there and to be accepted, because, you know, growing up, it was always a young person's music. So he's doing something that's never been done before, and it's accepted. You know, young kids listen to Jay-Z. Old heads like me, we know what he's about. We know when we heard Reasonable Doubt. You know, he has a couple classic albums as well. I would say he probably has three I mean, I know Unreasonable Doubt, the Black Album. I mean, gosh, you can, American Gangster's very good. You have Jay-Z Volume, oh man, Volume 2. That one's pretty awesome. So, you know, he has very solid shit where it's in longevity, obviously, he's still here, but he's had plenty of music. And obviously, his catalog is beyond amazing. I think that, you know, for any rapper to strive to be like Jay-Z is probably the point, right? I mean, I think that's something that all of us, because they don't have it all together there. I mean, he has it all. I mean, he literally has it all. He has his own record label, his own streaming company, and he creates deals that are unique. You know, when he talks about streaming his album with the purchase of Sprint phones or exclusively sending stuff out, that's stuff that's never been done before. So Jay-Z is the embodiment of a rapper and a businessman, and understanding the business side of music and applying it to himself. And I think that's something that everyone can't deny. And for him to be around as long as he has, and to be as relevant as he is, and to be looked upon as a mythical figure, I think, without a question, makes him the number one rapper of all time. So, again, no disrespect to Biggie and Tupac fans, because I think Tupac is also an amazing person. How can I forget him, man? He's definitely honorable mention. I think that if I was to pick him or Biggie, I'd probably pick Tupac, because he has more long of a catalog. He has music, and he's great, man. He's passionate. And the one thing about Tupac, rest in peace, is that he never used any synonyms or similes. Like, he was always, it was pure poetry rap if you listen to it. Like, he doesn't say, you know, I'm gonna smash your head like a whack-a-mole. He didn't do anything like that. Like, he would just say, you know, the struggle is real. Ah, my niggas out there hustling, shout out. You know, he wouldn't go and say anything slick or funny. It was just straight core, hardcore. So, but I think it was impactful. But, man, like, taking him over some of those guys I mentioned, I think it's a very hard thing for me to do. So that's it. Top five rappers, dead or alive.
Yeah. See, I'm gonna let you know who the best. By the hour, this like Rosie O'Donnell at a bisexual bridal shower. It ain't nothing to me, man. I keep it for real. Look at this dental, man, with dental the grill. See, I'm the best. I told you that. This dude like that, he ran in front of the cat. Now I messed up, but I'ma stay on top. They told me, man, but you know, I'm never gonna flop. Look at this dude, he need to stay in the shade. Ain't no wonder why he came out. He already in the gay parade. I told you, man, I got you. Roast it like ever. You don't know, but my rhymes, they straight up clever. So you step down off the pedestal. I'm the best, man. You need to go to the fucking dental. All
right.
I said freaking God.
All right.
Alicia. It's a white lemon.
Alicia.
It's in the box.
All right, as you can see.